Welcome to At the Library with your host, Diane Barker, local author and conference speaker. For comments and questions about today's program, call 423-878-6279 or email whcb@thelibrary@gmail.com.
Who enjoys waiting? Nobody I know. What if someone offered a strategy to make those times on the sidelines productive, even meaningful? Kathy Carlton Wilness is called God's Grin Girl because she has a way of grinning even through suffering and waiting. She has a brand new book called Your Life on Hold, Don't Hate the Wait. Kathy, I want to welcome you back to At the Library.
Thanks for having me back. It's exciting to share about this new book.
Well, you know, you were here just recently and talked about your awesome book, The Grin Gal's Guide to Well-Being. And now you have this new book about waiting, our life on hold. Tell us a little bit about that book and why you decided to write it.
Can you believe that I decided to write a book on waiting? Because I'll let everyone in on a little secret. Us authors, we have to live what we're writing in some way.
Yes.
And I started writing this book over 10 years ago when I found myself in not just back-to-back waiting seasons, but back-to-back-to-back waiting seasons. And I felt like I didn't want to waste the lessons that I had along the way. So I just started jotting them down as they came to me.
Well, that was a very smart thing to do because, you know, I think that probably 99% of our listeners understand fully what we're talking about when we say that we are in a waiting room. And that doesn't just mean a doctor's office. That means just a holding pattern in life. So do you mind to tell us about some of your experiences waiting? And I know that you're even today waiting.
I am. I'm waiting for an approval on a treatment for my immune deficiency, and I've got a cataract surgery on hold until I can get my immune system built up. I've been having treatments for a while now, but it still isn't enough. But, you know, so some people have those medical journeys that are waiting periods, and other people have financial situations. I know we have had times when my husband was in between jobs, or even not knowing where we were going to live. I surveyed several people that came up with a few waiting periods, and sometimes it's a circumstance. Usually it's one that's not in our control, and so we have to wait for something to happen before we can move on, and we feel sort of stuck in a season or a rut. Maybe we even feel invisible or isolated or misunderstood, and those are just some yucky situations to be in.
It's so easy to get frustrated when we are in a holding situation because we make our plans and we expect to proceed with those. And then this unexpected pause comes along and it's very frustrating at times. We don't know. Sometimes we don't know which direction to go. And then we, even though we're ready to go, we are not able to because, as you say, of circumstances beyond our control. So we know that God can change that. He has the power to answer our prayers. Do you have any recommendations for loving God even more during the wait despite not receiving His help on our timetable?
Oh, that's such a hard one. I talked to someone this week when I handed them the book, and they said they have more questions than answers, and it's just so hard to understand. If we believe God can do something, why isn't He? And does that mean He doesn't care for us or doesn't hear us? And it just puts us in such a predicament to even know how to have our time with God. And one thing I've been learning is it's not so much about His solutions that I need to focus on, because He can handle that. He knows the big picture and I don't. But the one thing I can focus on is His presence is enough for right now. While I'm in the middle of it, I don't need to wait to get to the end of what I think I want to know that God has been good. He is good right now. And so the book is designed to give the readers something to hang their hope on while they're waiting.
Well, each chapter has a section called During the Pause, and you use the word pause, the letters, P-A-U-S-E, to stand for an action. Tell us about those.
I tend to be the type of gal who, I don't want to get stuck in my feelings. I want to activate some sort of action so that I feel like even when the thing I want isn't happening yet, I can do something. You know, just because we're stuck doesn't mean we can't do anything at all. There are things we can do. So the acronym PAUSE stands for pray, adjust, undertake, seek, and evaluate. And so I give each chapter a prayer to pray, because sometimes when you're feeling stuck, you don't even know how to pray or what to pray. And so there's a simple prayer there that you can pray along with. The A is for an adjustment to make, and another is an action to undertake, because like I said, doing something just makes us feel like we're not so stuck. And then something to seek and a situation to evaluate, because sometimes the wait is to help us learn something, and we evaluate that so that we can change and transform and be all God wants us to be. Sometimes the wait isn't because of anything that we've done or not done, but it's to help other people see God at work in our lives. And we just need to wait it out and be patient and see that God is doing a work that's way bigger than we are.
Yes. Well, in your book, you share some quotes about waiting that are supposed to make us feel good, but often they just add fuel to the fire. Your honesty is refreshing. Tell us more about how you process those well-meaning comments to get to godly mindset.
When I was 17 years old, I received my first platitude, and it was from my very loving pastor's wife, and I did love her so much. But she wrote Romans 8:28 in a card to me while I was in the hospital, finding out that I was never going to be able to have children naturally. And I'm laughing now, but at the time, it was so hard to hear those words, even though they're from God's word. And there are other quotes, too, that people mean well, and they send you these bumper sticker quotes that are about life, you know, and tell you all about how God is going to help you, and you can, you know, trust him. Well, yes, we can trust him, but there are just times when we need to be honest with ourselves. And so I included some of those quotes and how they hit me when I was in the raw, which means if I wasn't looking at it through a godly mindset, and that human tendency is just to kind of have a pity party for a minute, or kind of have a moment where we're just not dealing with it as well as we could be. But then I also include the godly mindset, the me in the spirit, when I take a moment, I ask God to show me what he wants from that. And so I hope that by including those in the book, it helps people realize that even though people mean well, and there's all kinds of great quotes out there, and the quotes that I include are really good quotes, so I'm not putting them down. I was just being honest that there's times we're not at the right place to receive some of that advice until we work on our own hearts and let God work on our hearts.
You aren't the first person who has struggled with Romans 8:28. Would you talk a little bit more about that and how you apply that to your life?
Well, the best part of the quote is talking about those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And so when I focus on that part, then the, you know, all things will work together towards good will happen, because it's not my good that is the big deal. It's God's good. You know, it's the bigger purpose good. But it's hard to get in that mindset where you can figure all that out. And, you know, how is God using this stinky situation for good? You know, how can any good come from this? And so we have to get past that to see something bigger at work than just our bad situation.
Well, you are called God's grin gal. How can you grin while enduring multiple on-hold situations at once?
Well, I think it all comes back to realizing that the joy that God planted in me is not based on any circumstance. And so there's nothing bad that can happen that can take it away. And so the grin that I have on my face isn't because I'm grinning because I think that my day is going so well. It's grinning because God has given me peace inside and contentment, even while I'm waiting or even while I'm going through a trial. And that is almost contagious, that joy, you know? And so that smile there isn't put on or fake, but I've just learned that you can grin with grace and gratitude while you wait for these other things to work out.
What brings you comfort while you're waiting for something to change?
I really think it does go back to thinking about that word in the meantime, because a lot of times we are so eager to get to the destination. And, you know, one of the quotes in the book talks about we're a destination people, but God is a journey God. And he wants to hang out with us in this meantime. And it doesn't mean God is having a mean time. He's not a bully. The time isn't mean. It's meant for something. And so I just hang on to that and know that his presence is helping me while I'm waiting for those other things to work out, however they're going to work out. They might work out the way I want them to. They may not. But I know that God is working me out, and that's more important.
Well, what are some things you've learned and things that we might learn in the meantime?
Well, I've learned that we can either be in crisis or we can focus on being in Christ. And that is so important in this world where it seems like there's a new drama every single day, and it either plays out on television or social media or whatever. There's crisis all around us. And I kind of admit I bury my head in the sand sometimes when it comes to what's on the news, because that can really wipe a grin off your face quicker than anything. But when we choose to be in Christ, there's just something secure about that that helps you be able to hold on and wait things out.
Well, in the book, you share a list of questions that we tend to ask God while we're waiting. And then you recommend alternative questions to ask instead. Share some of those with us.
One of the things that I have learned, and I like to add practical tips in my books, and one of the ways that I cope is to reframe my words into what would be more godly or more appropriate, and especially my questions. Now, don't get me wrong. Any question that we have, God has big enough shoulders to hear our questions, and he's not going to ding us for having too little faith if we ask him a question. He can handle it. But some of these questions that I'm reframing, you know, why is this happening to me? I hear that one a lot. Instead, what if we ask, what does God want me to learn about him while I feel stuck? Another question is, when will this be over? And instead, maybe we could reframe it to say, what new focus do I need to concentrate on during this holding pattern? Rather than rushing it and trying to get it to be over, let's do something during it. Another one I heard just today was, why can't I catch a break? Someone whose loved one is in a nursing facility and is struggling to learn to walk again was just diagnosed with COVID. On top of everything else, you know, why can't I catch a break? And let's reframe that to, how can God use this to align me closer to his purpose for my life? You know, constantly just refocusing, or how can I work up enough energy to deal with this? Because a lot of people, they just are so fatigued from the wait that they don't feel like they have any energy. And instead ask the question, what passion can I pursue that will energize me? Because when we take hold of those passions that God puts on our heart, even in the wait, then that energizes us and refuels us and helps us have that gas that we need to make it through the journey.
Well, I love this quote in the book. You say, it's in the stillness where we meet with God. We rejuvenate as we rest in him. What we learn during the pause is as productive as what we do in the remainder of the journey. I just love that. And I think we all need to be reminded of that. How did you develop such a sweet, precious, close relationship with the Lord?
I think it was just from having a childhood and a teen years where I realized I needed his constant love in my life. And when I experienced that, it was like no love I ever received from a human being. And that just sort of shaped me early to be able to endure some pretty terrible things throughout my life. And I cannot imagine a human being diagnosed with the things I've had or facing the human conflicts and challenges without having the Lord in their lives. I think that would be a really hard situation. So God's put me on mission to help other people going through those things so that I can help them also have that same kind of hope.
Well, do you have a favorite Bible verse that has just been your mainstay through all of the challenges that you've had?
When I was writing this book, there were so many good scriptures, and I include a lot of them in the book. But one of the ones that I thought was so appropriate was Isaiah 30:18, and it says, "So the Lord must wait for you to come to him so he can show you his love and compassion. For the Lord is a faithful God. Blessed are those who wait for his help." And that's what we're all doing here. We're waiting for his help And He is a faithful God, and He will be there for us to show us love and compassion.
For comments and questions about today's program, call 423-878-6279 or email us at whcb@thelibrary@gmail.com. For more information about the host, Diane Barker, visit dianebarker.com. Join us again next time for At the Library.